Good morning, Namibian. Good morning, my dear listeners. How are you this morning? Well, I think, you know, in Ondangwa today, it's not that. It's okay. It's a very good morning. A very, not too cold like yesterday. Today is far, 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 far better. So how is the weather like in your area, wherever you find yourself? So hopefully it's not that cold. So, I think I'm going to sign up for Maris. I was listening to Early Morning Scoop now, on that, Maris Money or whatever. So I'm going to sign up for that one. So good morning and welcome to, Eagle FM. This is your number one talk radio station, and you are tuned into Unpacking the Day. So my name is Mike Chauvelli, and you are tuned in Unpacking the Day, your daily dose of what is really going on in business, economic, and politics. Every weekday, we cut through the noise to make sense of the big stories, trends, and numbers making headlines. So we keep it clear, a little witty, and always curious, asking the questions that matter and giving you a fresh take on what people are saying out there. So the views shared and during our segments don't necessarily reflect those of Eagle FM. We are here to unpack what others are saying and spark meaningful conversations so you can be part of the bigger conversations. So this is your space to unpack the headlines and get to the heart of the story. 4 minutes past the hour of 8, and welcome unpacking the day. So we will be here. So the time has changed a little bit. Sorry. Could have actually said this earlier on. So Unpacking the Day will be now starting at 8 o'clock until 10 o'clock. So Early Morning Scoop will end at 8 o'clock, and Unpacking the Day will start at 8 o'clock to 10 o'clock. So that's our new times. If you want to catch up on this, if you want to catch up on Unpacking the Day, make sure that you tune in. And from 8 o'clock every weekday, from 8 o'clock to 10 o'clock. So that's our new time. We just push a little bit, you know, ahead. And there's a new program that's coming up immediately after Unpacking the Day. So make sure that you tune in for that with Mr. Franz. So Kutha Mosha, that's a program, that's a new program that is coming. It's not Mind the Gap anymore. So after Unpacking the Day, there is Kutha Mosha coming up after Unpacking the Day. So make sure that you tune in for that new brand new program that's coming up in Oshiwambo with Mr. Franz. So make sure that you tune in for that one. So, all right, today is the 7th of August. So let's get into our segment of On This Day in Africa. What happened on this day in Africa? So on the 7th of August in 1960, Cote d'Ivoire, Ivory Coast, country that we call Ivory Coast or Cote d'Ivoire, officially gained independence from France. So Félix Houphouet Boigny became the country's first president, leading with a policy of close cooperation, still with the former colonial power. You know, people in the north, Northern Africa, they always have this, Western Africa, very, very difficult name. All right. So the country independence was part of a wave of decolonization across the French West Africa in 1960, known as the the year of Africa. So when about 17 African countries gain their independence. So on the 7th of August, 2010, Kenya passed a new constitution via a national referendum. Over 67% of voters approved the new constitution. So it introduced, the constitution introduced a devolution, a bill of rights, and created a bicameral parliament, among other reforms. So it was seen as a crucial step for following the 2007-2008 post-election violence, aiming to prevent similar unrest and improved governance. So on the 7th of August in 1979, Tanzania and Uganda began a ceasefire talks mediated by the Organization of African Unity. So the talk followed the fall of Adi Amin. It followed the fall of Adi Amin's regime when Tanzania forces and Uganda exiles ousted him from power in April 1979. So although Uganda was liberated from Amin, the ceasefire negotiation sought to prevent further regional instability. So, and on the, while the attacks happened on the 7th of August 1998, they are remembered annually. So Al-Qaeda coordinated smartlessly bombings of U.S. embassies in Nairobi, Kenya, and Tanzania, or Dar es Salaam in Tanzania. So killing over 224 people and injuring 1,000. So it was Al-Qaeda. It was the deadliest terror attack in East Africa, and marked the beginning of Al-Qaeda's global terror campaign. So what happened to Al-Qaeda? We don't hear much of them so much. All right. So, very good morning. And if you're just joining us, this is Unpacking the Day on Eagle FM. And I'm Mike Oshoveri. So, our thought for the day today, or Thursday, August the 7th, he who angers you controls you. He who angers you controls you. So the proverb means that when someone provokes anger in you, they gain power over your emotions and behavior. So by allowing anger to take hold, you essentially give that person control over your state of mind. So the proverb advises emotional self-mastery. So not letting others dictate your mood through anger. It preserves your inner peace and personal power. So controlling your anger means maintaining your own composure and freedom from emotional manipulations. You're not being manipulated. You're not being controlled by the other person. So that's our thought for the day. Say, he who angers you controls you. So hopefully, in your choices and decision that you're making today, you will be able to control your anger to preserve your inner peace and personal power. So, good morning. Our time is about 11 minutes past the hour of 8. And what you can expect today on the show, there is a government policy that is actually pushing about 51% stake in all new mining ventures. So the government is pushing about 51% stake in all new mining ventures. So we're going to look at that. And you know our billion-dollar hydrogen, you know, project, the $180 billion hydrogen project. It's sparking some fear. Some people are starting to worry that would have put actually our state in debt spiral. So we're going to look at that as well. And if we still have time, we're going to look at why 1.6 million Namibians are malnourished, according to UN report. So that we have for today on the show. Make sure that you stay tuned as we tackle some of these issues. Stay tuned. We'll be back.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye. Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
So not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM,
good morning, and Namibia. Welcome back to Unpacking the Day. Your space to dig deep, look beyond the headlines, and truly understand what is shaping our nation. So, and if you're just joining us, I'm your host, Michael Chavelli, and today we are literally going to be doing some digging. You know, we're going to do some digging, because our focus right now is on the very bedrock of our economy, and that is mining. That is mining. So, For generations, our mineral wealth has been the backbone of Namibia. Diamonds, uranium, copper, gold. Yeah? These minerals represent a really big, significant chunk of our national income. And also of our job market and our potential for development. So this is where all our hopes and eyes focus on. So we have always heard about how rich our land is. You know, we even sing about that. You know, we have these liberation songs singing about how rich we are. And but how much of that wealth, genuinely translate into riches for you and me? So how much of that we sing about, you know, Namibia, Duletu, Lino Kawe Nongopolo. So how much of that actually goes, actually translate into now that riches into you, for you and for me, or for an average Namibian family, for any average Namibian family, or for our community, then how many of that translate into that? That's the big questions. That's actually the big question we are asking, or maybe the government as well, the government itself also asking. So lately there has been a lot of talking from the government about a new push in the mining sector. So, and it sparked a lot of conversation, some excitement, actually, and as always, some serious questions. Like here, that's what we do. We ask serious questions. So, we are talking about the proposal for 51% local ownership in new mining ventures. 51% the local ownership in new mining ventures. So that means if there are some new minings some enterprises or ventures that are coming up, especially mining, so we would be asking to own that mine. We ask for 51% ownership for that resources, for that mining, for that mine. So now, and that sounds like a win for us, isn't it? It sounds like that's actually a win for us, Namibian. Local ownership, empowerment, social justice, these are the powerful words. And the Deputy Prime Minister, who also oversees industries, mines, and energy, announced this at the recent Mining Expo in Windhoek. So those are the words that he uses: local ownership, empowerment, social justice, you know, very powerful words. So as he was actually talking or addressing at the Mining Expo in Windhoek. Now, he spoke about actively consulting with the industry to make sure Namibia get a majority stake in these new projects. So he even framed it as a cornerstone for long-term stability and sustainability in the sector. So now, the reason why we get to that, the reason why we're looking at that is actually here. You know what here, what we do here on Unpacking the Day. So we put on the investigative hat, you know, or a cap. And I want you to do that as well. So when we hear new mining ventures, so you talk about, you know, with 51 local ownership in new mining ventures, I think a crucial question immediately pops into my mind, possibly into your mind as well. What about the existing mine? So what about the mines that are existing now? What about them? So the ones that are already hugely profitable, where our current national stake, through various state-owned entities, is often much, 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 much lower. We have, you know, various state-owned enterprises or entities that actually have stake in the current one. And we are talking single digit. We are talking single digit, sometimes as low as 3%, some 7%, some 10%. The only really 50-50 partnership we have is with Nandeb. So it's only Nandeb that we actually have a 50-50 partnership. Many of them that, as I said, hugely, hugely profitable. Our stakes in those one are very, very, very minimal. As I said, 3, 10, 7 percent stake in those mines. Well, now, so. Well, securing really 51% in a new ventures is a step, and probably a step in the right direction. I'm saying probably. We're just going to see, are there any new ventures? That we're looking at? So, but Are we potentially creating a scenario where this most lucrative established mine, that they continue actually with their current ownership structures? So is that kind of scenario that we are creating? So we still actually, they still continue with this ownership structures while we focus our effort now on a future project that that are not yet even proved, you know. Some of them have even proved, they haven't even proved their wealth. They haven't yet that they're actually worth investing or something. So but why we leave those lucrative ones, the established one already, where we only have this minimal, you know, stake? So the question is, actually the question that we need to ask is this about truly transforming the landscape? Or is it more, or is this just a cautious approach, perhaps to avoid upsetting, you know, these major existing players? I think we need to, that distinction is very important. So it is a critical distinction, especially when we talk about genuine social justice. As he said, the Deputy Minister said, talk about social justice and equitable wealth distribution. When we talk about these, so we must make that distinction. Is this about truly transforming the mining landscape? Or is it, we kind of like, okay, let's not upset, you know, the major existing players. We're looking at, well, the new ventures that may come up. You're listening to Unpacking the Day, where we are dissecting the government's new policy, you know, a new policy pushing in the mining sector. So this is a new policy that push in the mining sector. So now, beyond the 51%, ownership, another significant point raised by the Deputy Prime Minister was the issue of holding mineral license. Now, this is where companies or individuals are granted license for exploring or mining, but they sit on them. They're doing nothing, sitting on them, doing absolutely zero. No activity, no production, just holding on to the rights. So this practice is clearly a hindrance to our national development. Of course, because you have the rights and you're not doing anything. So the government say they are now issuing notices and will engage these non-compliant holders taking action because mineral rights are granted with the intention of production and not just for speculative purposes. So now, this sounds like an excellent news for us as a country. Finally, some action against those who are not contributing. So we have at least finally action against those. If you are not contributing, if you're not doing anything, you are just holding on to these rights. So yeah, something should be done. So yeah, and actually, but again, let's ask the tough question. Let's ask the questions. Why has this been allowed to happen for a long time? For so long, why this has been allowed to happen for so long? Why now? Why are we only doing this now? And how many licenses are there? How many licenses are we talking about? So of entities that are given licenses that are not, that have given this license right and they are not doing anything. No activity, no production, just holding on to the rats. And what mechanism were missing then until now that allowed this holding to continue? So those are questions. Is this a, how would I put this? Is this a reactive measure? Or part of a more, is this actually part of a more proactive, as we see it from the new administration, is this part of a more proactive strategy that should have been in place much earlier, that should have been done in other administration as well? Or is this just a reactive measure? So, as I said, we need to start thinking. We need to start really dissecting some of the things that our public officials are talking about. Well, one thing is it's easy to announce an action, but the real test is in the following through. In the following through and ensuring this doesn't become a recurring problem. Has it been always there that nobody actually, you know, make sure that this is implemented? And that's why I said it's easy to announce an action, just as, you know, as many policies as we have them. So, but the problem is the test, the real test, is, you know, can you follow through? Can you make sure that this, it doesn't become a recurring problem? So the government also mentioned that they are reviewing the mineral bills, not bills, the mineral bill. So, and this is our core legislative framework for the mining sector. So the plan, they plan actually to hold a consultation in the regions where exploration and mining are already happening. And this is very important. It's very important. A modern, transparent, predictable legal framework is really crucial for both either attracting investment and also ensuring our resources benefit our people. So we need modern, transparent, and a new legal framework, okay, that really cater for that, especially, you know, ensuring that our resource benefit our people. And we continue this after this commercial.
Titanium, the perfect fit between platinum and silver, complementing our existing benefit options. We always offer a comprehensive healthcare experience. NHP, the premier member-centric medical aid fund. Visit NHP today at nhp.com.na. NHP, we're about you.
So welcome back. So our time is about 30 minutes past the hour of 8. And if you're just joining us, our time has changed. With Unpacking the Day, we will be starting now from 8 o'clock until 10 o'clock. So we will be going until 10 o'clock. And we're dissecting the minings. The new policy that government want to push, a 51% stake in the mining, in mining. So, and we were talking about the mineral bills. As I said, you know, the government is planning actually to hold now consultants in the regions, especially where the exploration and mining are already happening. And the whole idea is really, to make sure that this legal framework is attractive. It's both attractive to investment and also it's ensuring that our resources benefit our people. So, but the mineral bills have been it has been under review for a while now. It really has been under review for a while.
Eagle FM.
Good morning. How are you?
Good,
you are far away. You are far away, Mister.
Am I far away?
Yeah, no. You're okay now.
All right.
Yeah.
The question you ask, you why now? Equally, we can ask you the same question.
Yeah.
You are saying you are changing time from 8 to 10. Why now?
Yeah.
Yeah, you can point. But let's start this way.
Yeah.
Remember, it's us who have complained as people, as a nation, the citizens, not only the African citizens. We have complained at times that our governments have been not doing justice to us.
Yeah.
And so we just want to do something. Then we again ask the question, why now?
Yeah. Exactly. So we're asking the motives. What do they say in English? If something happened to you once, you know, the word is actually out of my mind. So what we're asking is actually, are there other motives, you know, or is this, you know, a change that we're looking for? Yeah.
Yeah, no, definitely. Now, I think I think there are points when they used to say, those who in power might not have a clue, good ideas on how to apportion whatever, but those who are not in power also might have good ideas. Maybe it's time now, with the blessings, those who were not in power, now they are in power.
Yeah.
Now they are coming up with those ideas. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So why in the olden days, there was a threat, and now people have got used to that. You know, if you were bullied before, and then you start realizing, no man, this thing is not working for me.
Yeah.
In as much as I can be bullied, it's better let me die for what I have. Yeah. Let me die for what my, you get me? So, and that's why the government now is. 51%, we have complained about it, and we have said, no, why should we start with 0.3% or 0%? And then when they come, they tell you, no, for you to have shares, you have to buy the shares from us.
Yeah.
A person is coming from Europe. And in the constitution, that's why, remember we have been saying, let's change the constitution. That's the phrase that goes, unless otherwise lawfully owned.
Yeah.
So for me, it's a very, very good thing. The only thing now, maybe, the other part, the government, to solidify this, we need to put it in the constitution.
Yeah. We also need to really to go into it a little bit, you know.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely. The motive is, if you have got your children are crying every day and you are a parent.
Yeah.
And you are answering to the call of your children. Eh? Is there anything wrong? Are you when you answer to your calls of your children, no.
But when you're making it, let me also ask this question. When you make it 51%, as I said earlier on, that this is really important. If it's a modern, transparent, at this point in time. So would it be also attractive? Would it also be attractive to investment, to investors, if you actually make it a 51%?
51%.
Yeah.
Yes. No, look, everything is attractive. Everything is attractive. You see, they have threatened us with leaving. How many times? It's like you are talking about a person who says, no, I'll leave you tomorrow. Yeah, because you are... And then they don't go. How many times have we been threatened with leaving? Just wait for these tariffs. Eh? India says, no, we are not going to be bullied by America on tariffs. Okay, let them bring on. Look, people are telling you, the same thing I've given an analogy last time. Of a person who in the oil drums and the other one. You see, this guy who is still threatening with these tariffs. Tariffs are not going to hit Namibians only. First, people are going to be hit by those tariffs. And the people are going to consume those products. Not us.
Yeah. But he's putting in chaos. You know, he's putting you in chaos, he's putting you, you know, now fighting each other, you know.
Well, people must be very careful. That's why they say the communist...
I mean economically, I'm not saying fighting each other in terms of blood, but economically.
Yes, I fully agree. That's why the Chinese says we have to be level-headed now.
Yeah.
You get what I mean? This is now the time you don't react, overreact, or you don't start, how to say it? You don't become a reactionary.
Yeah.
Because this guy have said, so I'm going to do this. No. Let him say that. You know, if I was in power. These are the games you can play very well. Allow them to put the tariffs well, over and good. Just say, no, I'll be consuming my stuff and I'll be selling some of the stuff. Africa is how much population?
1.3 billion.
Then we are going to have people who are 300 million. And then they want to dictate who is going to consume more. It's us. So we can even consume whatever we produce.
Then
they will come to us. Yeah. Because what they produce, they might not finish it. Is it? So they all need to sell it to us. So what we do, then we just do the reciprocal.
Yeah, so I get what you're saying. Like, as you said, the market is here in Africa. But how much, you know, how many, in terms of percentage, you know, how many percentage do African countries actually do business with each other?
No, that's, remember, it was, as you said, before there were threats, there's something we have said that, me and you have argued on this one.
Yeah.
How did we get it right for us not to produce even tomatoes when we have got land? Yeah. Nakate was there. When last was Nakate of Jude? And when was the last water was full? It was full to capacity. That water just evaporated without any single seed planted. Is it? How did we get it right? Initially, what was the primary objective? Is it? Somebody used to threaten us, and the threats were maybe more. But after the threats were converted into shares. So you own shares. Me, who is going to be the agriculture minister, I own shares in ShopRite and Pick and Pay.
Yeah.
How do I go against my own business?
Yeah.
You get what I mean? So these are some of the things. Me, I'm looking at it. I'm not saying everybody should do that. I'm saying this is my own observation and my analysis. So when they say 51%, because why 51%? It gives you the power.
It's your resources anyway. It's your resources. Yeah.
Yes. Mm. It's your resources. Then it gives you the power to decide whether the people are going to contaminate your environment. You can say, no, I don't want this one. Is it?
Yeah.
The 51% might be the real way for power to make decisions. Look what they did at the Ramatex. After contaminated a lot of things, and then they ran away overnight. Because what? You have got 3%. What will you say? Nothing. But if you have 51%, you say, no, I'm the boss. Eh? I'm not, in as much as I'm the boss, I'm not saying I'm belittled to you. No. Let's stop doing A, B, C, D. Let's do this A, B, C, D for the benefit of all of us. You understand?
Yeah.
Because, yes, so that's what I'm looking at. And then the way they are doing it on minerals, for me, after the minerals, I think the Minister of Agriculture also must come in to this place because we have got a lot of vast land that is not used and we are claiming we have got a lot of farms.
Mm.
I think it's time now we should also pick target to the farmers who have got, the white farmers also, whether black or white, put target, say, each farm must produce a certain product, whatever, if you are good in skin, produce a skin for this period, this much. If you are cattle farmer, don't just say, no, we want to cross the red line. Then in that red line, when we close it, it doesn't benefit the country. We want to see that red line. If we cross the red line, we must make sure that what we have this side must benefit the country. So we should also start putting targets to the farmers. You see, all the farms must have target that, okay, each and every farm must produce this much per annum. If you fail to do that, then we should explain to government why is it that because you can't. You should tell the government, I can produce this what you tell me at this amount of land. So this other one, then you give it away. Is it?
Yeah.
Then the willing buyer, willing seller want to. Then we are sharing.
Are you talking about commercial now? Commercial land?
Commercial, yes. No, I don't care about commercial whatever. Farming is farming. The land is land. Ground is ground. If you plant a mango, why
would he want to do that while he's already having a market outside of the country?
It's having a market, but that market is not serving the nation.
Yeah.
It's for individual. In as much as we want you to do, so we are saying, what I'm proposing is, each farm also must be given a target, because you are owning the land, and you are saying when government wants to take land, you say it's your land. You have, but then the government must have the power that any land that, because remember, anything belongs to the nation.
Mm.
Eh? So, including that land, we are claiming it's mine. Eh? It's for government. But government says, okay, fine, I'm not going to tamper with your ideas. I love your idea that it's your farm.
Yeah.
But your farm must not be idling. The same thing you are saying, licenses in the mining, people are having licenses, and then licenses are idling. Then the minerals,
yeah,
which are underneath, they are not bringing the wealth. So why are you having it?
Yeah. Mm.
Yes. So that's the essence and the notion I'm saying.
Yeah.
That should be extended. But for government to come up with 51%, I suggest, and I think, this is my understanding, I understand that it's for the purpose of having power.
Mm.
Eh? You have got a full control on your soils, on your land.
Yeah.
The people where you're going to, whoever is going to mine, let's say the ones who are doing in Kavango or wherever, if they start contaminating the land, then you with 51%, you can say, no, this is the people complain, then the government should take action. Because now it's not only for profit, it's also for human survival and animal survival.
But my question also at the beginning that I ask is that why for the new ventures, for the new...
No, that one, it's also the question we should... I think I also join you in that question, but maybe we should give them the benefit of the doubt that maybe they want to start with this one, which is the easiest one, then they start going back into the... That, okay, no, we are going to renew all the control, re-sign, how do you say that one? To enter into new contracts again.
Exactly.
Renewing the contract. If you want to stay, stay. If you want to leave, please welcome. You see, they'll stay.
Yeah.
There's something I said, look, Americans are threatening us with all these tariffs, whatever. Tete Mike, they are the one who are vulnerable.
Mm. They are taking control of the situation.
No.
You understand? Yeah.
They, what they want to do, because there's BRICS, you see, then they know that America is going. You see, when they, you know, you have seen when the last breath of a horse or the bully. When the bully is bullied now,
you know sometimes when you wish something, you know, when you kind of like we want what of whatever America is doing, you kind of like, okay, we not that we want America to go down, but it's kind of like sometimes it's a wishful thinking, and then we don't really take cognizance of the truth or the reality of what is happening. You understand? It's more we wish that that's what happened rather than what it is actually happening.
No, look, people have gone through hell.
Yeah.
Mike, if you have been abused for 20, 30, 40 years.
Yeah, that's what I said. It's what we want to happen.
Not like Americans.
Yeah.
Americans as citizens, they are good people.
Yeah.
America is a good country. America, you know, is good. But the policies they put in place is to abuse others. If you don't tow our line, what do? We sanction you. You get it? If the person always wants to kill you, so whenever you are living in fear.
Yeah.
Then it should fear into other people. But that's not what it should be. It should be life is mutualism. We live interdependently. America depends on...
Now it's protectionism, my dear.
Yeah. So, that part, they might think they are doing the right thing, but they are going to kill themselves. That's what I'm saying. I'm telling you that if the bully is bullied, you know, you fail to accept and appreciate that, no, I think I'm old. I can no longer fight.
But we should be happy then. We should be happy then, saying, well, they are destroying themselves. We will, sooner or later, we will see that they will fall down, you know?
Look what happened to our businesses in Namibia when our brothers from Angola came with a lot of US dollars. They were used to US dollars.
Yeah.
They came and destroyed, and we thought it was nice.
Yeah.
We were getting mean money. When the Angolan left, who is complaining?
Yeah.
It's us. Why? We cannot no longer go back to the same prices we used to sell each other. Eh? But we can also not afford what we are doing now. We know this is wrong. But yeah. Because now we are stuck.
Yeah.
Yes. So there's something, when people are busy destroying, America is busy destroying itself. Because if you put, let's say, on the meat from Namibia, 21% or 30% tariff,
yeah,
or 40, then it arrives in America. How much will it cost? Americans used to buy that meat at a cheap price, and they thought they were rich. You know how much they fork?
Yeah.
It's a lot of money.
That's a lot of money. Intentionally, they're putting on that price because they want that you buy their product. You buy local product, yes, rather actually
no
the other
problem.
One. Yeah.
No problem. Then, by doing that, other people love that meat. You see, there are certain things we love.
Yeah.
Regardless of whether I'm from Zambezi, there are certain food I love in other people's culture.
Yeah.
You get what I mean? I love that if I meet these people, I know, they are going to give me this type of, you get what I mean? That I love.
Yeah.
You get what I mean? So, if now I'm punishing myself to say, no, if you bring that food into my culture, it should be charged heavily. So, who is punishing himself? It's not me.
Yeah.
There will be people who, even
though. Yeah, you're punishing your consumer. And
yourself, actually.
Yeah.
Some of the meat that they eat, which comes from Europe or Africa and other countries, it lands in the White House. White House will buy that meat.
Yeah.
Yeah. So how are you punishing? You're not punishing anybody.
Yeah.
The only thing is, you see what they do, is you create a fear. But if the people now don't follow that fear, you know what happens?
Yeah.
You become useless. Because then there's no one who are going to threaten. It's like you are bullying people. The day you are beaten, would you bully anybody?
Yeah.
No. So there's something, if people are going to get away with this, the moment America will realize that, it's the same thing, look, he gave Putin 50 days, from 50 days to what?
Mm.
To this, to that. Then Putin is just laughing. Then the last day, people are saying, we're waiting for the 8th of August. We want to see what America is going to do. Then you come, America is not fighting Russia. What will be now? People look at you as weak. Look how the people, the DA, is looked at now. And government of national unity. They threaten people to leave, but they don't leave.
Yeah.
So now, if the DA today comes and says, no, we are going to leave, do you think people will take them seriously?
Yeah. All right, Ben.
Boss, just stay where you are, man. We know you are just eating. You stop guessing, man. You are useless. You know? So that's the thing. So we shouldn't be scared of this tariff, and we shouldn't be scared of what the government is doing. The government is doing the right thing. No one is going to run.
Yeah.
Let me be honest with you. They need these minerals. There are no minerals. These minerals which are here, they are not there where they are coming from. So they'll need this one for their survival. It's like you're telling people about uranium. Uranium we use to keep what? Nuclear weapons.
Yeah.
If you don't have uranium, those nuclear weapons, one day they're exposed to whatever, to hit too high. That thing will start to get my, they might start exploding. So you need uranium. Even if you make this uranium today, to be honest with you, Chief, very expensive. People will come for it.
Yeah.
Whether we like it or not.
All right.
Thanks.
Thank you, man. All right. So, you're tuned in to Unpacking the Day and diving deep into Namibia's mining future. Good morning. Welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Yes, that's Miles. How are you?
I'm fine. And yourself?
Yes, that's Miles. Let me switch off the radio, eh?
Yeah.
Okay. So, anyway, that's Mike. My brother who was talking now. Do you think our leader would be happy to receive Zambian kwanja or Angolan instead of American dollar, or we are talking about the pound? Or No. They'll be different, I'm telling you. That's why they are crying foul, because they know as a Namibian we are going to consume even our fish. At least I'm going to eat a mango.
Yeah.
For the first time.
Yeah.
A manga from Namibia.
Yeah.
You see now. We never know. We just see it with our eyes, but we never taste. from our country.
That's the thing, yeah.
Yeah, so that's why they are crying.
Yeah.
Our leaders, they are not going to be happy because they know even the Mercedes are going to be limited now to buy it from the Germans.
Yeah.
Otherwise, all of us, we end up driving what?
But it's all right. It's funny how people who have money really never care about car they drive, you know?
But it's those of us
who don't have money want to drive this expensive and whatever, you know, that we actually want things that we don't. That we can't afford, and then that's how we put ourselves in debt, and also that's how we operate on a country level.
Mike, you know what? Yeah. A poor person is always the one who wants to have a luxury thing.
Yeah,
and a rich person, he doesn't care if he's going to ride the bike to go and get what he wants, or he's going to drive a Mercedes Benz. Doesn't have a crush, but a poor person is like a crush. He want to wear the white Machiavelli. He want to wear any shoe which is the latest. That is a poor, and poor, when I'm saying poor, I'm not referring to like a person doesn't have anything. It's just a poor mind.
Yeah.
And that's how we are learning our countries in Africa. Because people are crying, they don't have anything to eat, but people are forking out the money to go and buy what Rand closes, SLV. So you see now, you see how we look like.
So what do you think? What are you thinking about this? Government pushing for 51% of ownership in mining.
For me, yeah. It's a good thing, but at least they're supposed to do something also to the exist one.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, because you can't tell me, our government sometimes they have like a 3%. Some of them even mind they don't have, they have zero.
But the other thing is also then, how many new adventures that's going to come up? How many new mining that's going to come up that where we are going now to own that? While we might not have really significant new mines that are opening up, where we are going to have 51%. So that means we can still continue to have 3 or 7 or 10% in the crucial, you know.
That's what I'm wondering, because now look, you know when you are saying broom, or you are using to broom, cleaning the dust, you don't clean only one certain area and then you leave the other one. Because now, I can say, now because they don't want to hit the existing mine.
Yeah.
But at least there's supposed to be something for them, a requirement that they have to do. Because you can't tell me we are the third in the world for aluminium produce. But what is aluminium contribute to us?
Yeah.
Economical wise, even our GDP. Why does it does? Nothing at all.
No, we don't. This is one thing that I always said. I don't just want numbers on GDP. I want to see a difference in the life of the people.
Tangible, my friend. Tangible is that.
Yeah.
Tangible project like, hey, that's cool. It's for millennium. Yeah. Okay, this one is for fish because of what? The quotas of fish which are going to Spain. Okay, this one is for, because this stadium which you can see here is built because of Beetle Gold.
This is what I said.
I
said at the beginning, we have even in our liberation songs and said our country is very rich with diamond and all that. But how much of that rich actually comes to you as an individual?
My friend.
As a community, as a for so long. We're talking about, and we're proud of that. Our country is very rich. But are you rich?
How?
Yeah. It's a contradiction where we're saying we are rich and we are poor.
look, this is what I'm telling you. We are painting ourselves like we are rich. We want to have a crash where we are driving a Mercedes Benz. We want to, instead of Tangi Botswana, which we can afford.
Yeah.
But we are poor. We don't have anything to touch on, but we are pretending like we are fine, but we don't have any, we are not fine. How can you have even like almost 7 years now?
We are rich. We are rich, but the rich is not ours.
It's not ours. And this is then continuing.
Yeah.
Just imagine, my friend, even that S. David is somebody, my brother, saying, no, my property is worth 20 million. Just imagine. Are you talking about a mall or you are talking about a cinema? Just individual house. Just imagine. That 20 million is already what a school. With a label and everything. But it's just individual person. That's what I'm talking about in a million. That's what I'm saying. We need to have that nationality. Like everything must be established like according to the paper. Because you can't tell me, you come up with 50%, which is good for me. I understand that it is the stepping in good direction. But there is this in mind, which are still exploiting Namibian resource.
Yeah.
There's supposed to be something. I tell you, because you can't tell me, how did you get it right to have 50-50 with Namdeb?
Namdeb, yeah.
What about the others?
It's so pathetic. I mean, 3, 7, you know, and 10.
Even in uranium, my friend, uranium, even in South Africa, they are even more than, they are having 10%. Come on, man.
Yeah.
Are we serious? Then you are here telling me no. Any mine was coming up, it will be. And I remember one thing. The players who are coming on board, even they're interested in something, then they look. Why must every 49% but if uranium is required, everybody lithium.
Yeah.
You're only having, guys, you're only having 5%. Why are you treating me like this way?
Yeah, exactly. You have already set the presidency from the very beginning.
From the beginning, exactly. What is this now? Because people will come in to try to, but really, if you look, you are not treating the people the same way. They may come in, then you say, nah, I later give up. You see?
Yeah, I later invest
in that guy who's having what?
Yeah.
Who's having 80% and then you guys are having only 20% or is having only 5%.
Yeah, as I said.
I buy a share from him.
Yeah.
Huh? I think they didn't think about it so much to come up with 51%. But for me, it's a good direction because that's how we're supposed to be as a country.
Yeah. So it is a good thing. You also have to look that it shouldn't be accidentally also block investment. Is something that we need to balance, kind of have that balance in terms of, okay, we should have a big share of our resources, but we also make sure that, you know, we have investors that not thinking, I can't invest there. I need to go where I feel I'm getting a bigger share of my investment, you know?
Exactly. I'm giving example. I said, no, these guys will even come in with a lot of questions like, why the other guys operating? We are doing the same mine, mineral exploitation, but this one is why you are charging him. I mean, you guys only have 3% in this thing. And what about me now? You are giving me 49%.
Exactly, yeah.
For me, it's a good direction we are stepping in, but seriously, the existing mine, where they are just paying workers and the loyalty, and they don't do anything. They are crossing in, out, and they leave us, our country, with nothing, but they our water resources when it comes to groundwater and so on. They bend them in. Just the same way they come out, we have to what? To fork out to in the newspaper yesterday for green hydrogen. I think it's something like a billion, 150 something billion. Just imagine. But you are talking about something this guy they propose to us. It's not us, our project.
Mm.
They come up with their own thing, and then now we have to buy in our natural resource.
Yeah.
Are we crazy?
We're buying share of our own stuff.
Our own stuff. This thing come with nothing at all. Then now we are made to buy our own stuff. How is that possible?
Yeah.
It's what I'm saying sometimes, honey. Guys, we need to relieve some of these things because our next generation, they are still coming. If we are not expert enough, let us leave it. Nobody's holding a gun that if you don't do it, I will shoot you.
Mm.
Yeah, we can just leave it and say, no, Japan is striking. Yeah, it's enough. I think it's fine. Let us leave it at the green.
But you are pressed with young people actually demonstrating on the street wanting job. So
that is not even a guarantee, because
you see,
it's not even a guarantee.
So anyone who comes,
how long is it going to last?
So, and this is where now people, where this is with this multinational companies that they prey you on those kind of things. Okay, they will say, look, you have people on the street running, you know, who need employment, and I will take about 600 of them. You understand? And
then you are disciplined.
Yeah, so it's like when you have your beautiful car, really, maybe it's half a million, and and because you are now in need, you're going to sell that at 300,000, you know?
Because otherwise you are losing your house.
Exactly.
And now, but my brother, you want to tell me I cannot even find it in my house. Maybe I will go to Mike and say, Mike, borrow me, because I know this guy he want to rip me off because the house, the pine is a bit old. I will just find it. So at least I can come to the level from maybe 800,000 instead of going to sell it for 300.
You only do that when you are actually when you're negotiating from the position of power. And in most cases, we don't negotiate from the position of power.
But Mike, sometimes I think it's what you call nationality. If you are have that power, it's patriotic in you.
Mm.
Because sometimes you go and sleep hunger instead of you know that how can I sell my goats which I've been looking after for 2 years? And this guy just tell me no, it's only having 300, but I was asking you 1,000. Can I just go in bed hungry? Then I'll check tomorrow, maybe somebody will come and give me a good offer, even 700.
Yeah.
But our country, they don't do that because why? They learn to. This guy, Ben offered, when he go to the meeting, is Ben offered what? Luxury, like you have 100,000 in your bank account for USA. You have also Land Cruiser, we're going to pick it up where? And they have a house. And they have also immunity in our country. It's what they do. And our politicians, they're falling on that.
Yeah.
It's what they do. Just imagine, how can you, your own country, but having 3%? In your neighbor is even having 10% in your uranium. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
You want to tell me that if the person was negotiating, he was serious with that losing uranium to go?
Sometimes it's just it's incompetent. As I said, those guys, when they come and negotiate, they don't even use their own people. They hire international lawyers that are well invested in this kind of things. When now you're talking to someone who just actually appointed, because politically appointed, it doesn't have really understanding of.
Sometimes, Mike, sometimes, as a person, we all need each other. So when you are going there, you don't need to go. You take the expert, either from your country or outside.
Yeah.
You take somebody, like, you know, this, why I'm saying, why we are failing even to get the negotiation on table for genocide is because we are using the wrong people.
Yeah. It's exactly what you use. You use this also. They use this international. Use also international people who are well vested in.
So that
even if we pay them more, we will actually get a bigger share. Or we get what we want. So instead you go there, you're ripped off, and you have absolutely nothing.
Nothing at all.
Yeah.
You got zero balance at home.
All right.
What is that? Yeah, that's a problem, Mike. But serious, Mike, things need to be done.
Yeah.
You look, when I were talking about even 61%, I'm happy that at least they heard our call. But the existing mind, they need to come up with something just to make them also to what? Because the loyalty and the what takes whatever then. Paying employment is not enough.
Yeah, definitely.
They are benefiting so much.
Mm-hmm. That's why the president said we are too few to be poor. We are too few to be poor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but we are here crying. We don't have even the medicine in the hospital.
Yeah.
And the person who is having uranium is running like a cake now. Buy it like a god. Because we are taking Niger and what? Those countries were take themselves from France.
Mm.
You can see that they are, it's really served. But in Namibia, my friend, Chinese are enjoying it like nobody's business.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, when we deplete, where we are going, maybe we're going to need it one day when we're having experts on our next generation.
Yeah.
Then those kids are going to be forced to go and buy it to China. You see now.
Yeah.
And how much are we going to buy it? But it was your natural resource. This will be the same with the timber which we are taking from Kawango. They go to China, they come back, we are paying for 24 months. No, come on, guys. We have to think.
Mm.
Enough is enough. Thank you.
All right, man. Thank you for coming through, yeah?
All right, man.
Okay, great. Yeah. Yeah. So this, as I said, everybody, that's what we want. That's what we want. And I was talking about the mineral bill that has been under the review. So we need a bill that not only looks good on paper, but actually empowers communities and secure a fair, that we're talking about, a fairer, if there is such a word in English, a fairer share of the wealth for all Namibians. So you are tuning. Unpacking the Day, and we are talking about Namibia's mining future. So now, the government and the Chamber of Mines have been quick to highlight the positive statistics from the sector. So they spoke about impressive revenue figures, $1 billion generated, and substantial local procurement. So we had about 1,000 of permanent jobs with a commendable 97% of them held by Namibians. And they even mentioned Namibia ranking higher for mining investment in Africa. So now, these numbers sounds fantastic. They sounds good, and we're happy about that. Now, they paint a picture of a thriving, inclusive industry. So, but as always, let's look behind the curtain, okay? Let's look behind the curtain. When we talk about billions in revenue, now, we need to ask, how much of that revenue actually stays in Namibia? We talk about, when they say all these billions in revenues, how many of that revenue actually stays in Namibia? Think of now the mines that we're talking about, our share is about 3% or 2%, 7% or 10%. How many of that revenue stays in Namibia? How much flows back into our national coffer? Eh? How much or directly benefit, as we're talking now, when we're talking now, as we're just talking with the previous callers that comes, how many of that directly benefit our communities? So revenue is one thing. Net profit and its distribution is another. So, but we hear this, you know, how much billions of billions that we're making. But how many of that really get into the government's coffer? And how much of that actually, you know, now distributed right to the people? So, and there's that, what was also mentioned is local procurement. And that's brilliant. It's brilliant if it truly means Namibian business are benefiting. But are these genuinely Namibian-owned and operated companies? Because sometimes you have they are local subsidiaries. You know, where's my English? It's disappearing. Subsidiaries of foreign entities. Sometimes you have these subsidiaries, foreign entities. So we need to make that distinction. That's important distinction when we talk about the economic empowerment. This could be some of these are just subsidiaries of foreign entities.
So are we talking about genuine Namibian owned and operated companies? Eh? And also mention of the job, and for the job, thousands of jobs are always welcome. We welcome thousands of jobs, eh? Especially in a country with significant unemployment. We welcome that. But are this job predominantly, entry level? It could be just an entry level kind of job. Or are we seeing skill transfer, management roles, and leader position increasingly taking up by Namibians? Are we seeing that? So are we developing a local pipeline of world-class engineers? Eh? World-class engineers, geologists, as our former founding father used to, geologists and executives. Are we developing a local pipeline of that world-class? We're talking about world-class. Eh? And are these jobs sustainable? Are they sustainable in the long term? And then there is the ranking for investment. Namibia is seen as an attractive, and that's a huge plus. Eh? That's a very huge plus. But if we mandate 51% local ownership, and this is what I was saying, will we maintain that attractiveness for foreign investors? So we're saying we are number one, and not we are seen as attractive. Now, if we, so I'm not saying, I'm just asking. So if we maintain the 51% local ownership, will we maintain that attractive for foreign investors? So will the policy encourage new high-risk exploration ventures? Or that might also make some investors pause and kind of like, we need to look somewhere else. Well, this is not to say, just get me right. This is not to say that we shouldn't pursue our national interest. That's not what I'm saying. But it is a balance we must get right. It's a balance that we must get right to ensure we don't unintentionally deter the very investment needed for these new ventures that we're talking about. So it's a delicate dance. It's a really delicate dance between asserting national control, that we assert that national control, and attracting crucial foreign capital and expertise. That it's a delicate dance. So, you are with Mike. You are with me here, Mike Oshoveri, on Unpegging the Day. So now, the question I asked earlier, so why now? I want to bring in another angle. Why now? Why this strong push, public push for 51% local ownership and action against license holding? So why now? Well, I'm just also bringing this part, my dear listeners, that let's not forget the political calendar. Let's not forget the political calendar. So we are, after all, in an election year. Yeah? So policy announcements like this can be powerful. They can be powerful message to the electorate, demonstrating action, you know, showing that the government is serious about ensuring Namibians benefit from their own resources. You know, this is a powerful message. So, I'm just saying it. So, is it genuine long-term strategy? This is the question that we're looking at. Is it genuine long-term strategy? Or is there an elephant? Or, is there an element of a populist appeal? Eh? Is there an element of populist appeal at play here? Okay, one also has to think about that. So perhaps a bit of both. I'm thinking perhaps a bit of both. And it's crucial for us to distinguish between strategic policy and political messaging. So we need to make that distinction as well. So So it's important. I'm just throwing it out there. I'm just throwing it out there. Think about that as well. So we have seen that. It's not that something that I'm just throwing out of the bag now. So this happened. So, and another angle we need to consider is who funds this 51 ownership? Now, who gonna fund this 51 ownership? When we talk about majority ownership, especially in a large scale mining, we are talking about billions of dollars in capital, isn't it? We're talking about billion dollars in capital. So is the government going to buy these stakes? Are we going to buy this share? Or maybe do Namibian companies consortia of a local investors. So have the financial, now we have now consortia that have a financial muscles to acquire and manage 51% share in a multi-billion dollar mining project. Would that be the case? Or will it be a scenario where foreign company put up the capital and then a small group of political connected Namibians simply hold the shares, effectively acting as proxies, without genuine benefit, following the broader public?
Eagle FM, welcome to Unpicking the Day.
Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm fine, and yourself? There's a little bit of a wind. Can you be stable a little bit?
Okay, the wind is blowing anyway.
Yeah, it should be blowing. So.
So now the question of why now?
Yeah.
Why not now?
Okay, go on.
Because if the people are reviewing those policies and acts and things like that, and the legitimate complaint and demand.
Do you know why I ask? You know when I ask that question, you immediately call, isn't it?
Yeah, but I will tell you, because political, maybe some of these things are done because of election and other things. My question is all, my concern is always, when people, during the elections and other things, service deliveries, like reviewing of those policies, should be put on hold, eh?
No, what the question, the thing is that, okay, what I'm saying is that, as I said, I throw that there because there are also those, and remember, this is any political party, there are also those who uses this as a political messaging rather than a strategic policy. So that's what I'm saying.
So there must be strategic policies as well, not only because of the... I believe it's not only because of the election or because of the thing, the needs. Needs are also increasing.
Yeah.
If the needs are increasing, and there's also some political and economic pressure, why can't they then do the reviews and not to put those things on hold? So and put those things in hold. So I think that scenario or that sentiment, to me, it sounds as if during the elections and all these things, the needs of the people and the concern must be first be put on hold. So and the review of those policies is because people have identified some gaps, isn't it? And they want to
the background is not good, Uncle Bona. I think we need to because there is a noise. There is a noise coming from back. Yeah.
Let me call that.
All right.
Yeah. No. The point I'm making is here is that look, as I said, this is an election year. You know, these are also strategies that political leaders use to gain momentum, to gain upper hand, And this is not only about the party in leadership. Any other political party can use that. So,
yes. Good morning.
So that's, we also looking at that, as I said, I was talking about consortium. I was now talking about who fund this 51% ownership. Is it the government? Is it as consortium of local investors? So those are some of the things that we also should look at. So this is crucial. This is critical point. That needs absolute transparency. So, now, we also need to consider for whom this local empowerment is. So, for whom is this truly intended? This local empowerment intended? Is it about empower all Namibians from tangible benefit, like we're talking earlier? Like better public services, infrastructures, and diversification of our economy, or could it accidentally, you can also say that, lead to concentration of wealth and power in the hands of a selected few, or a selected connected few, or selected connected local entities, and this is a trap many resource rich nations have fallen into, and we must be really, 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 really vigilant against that. So, while the headline sounds promising, so the devil is always in the detail, as they said. So, and what is the detail? The detail is implementation, the funding. And the ultimate beneficiaries. Who are the ultimate beneficiaries?
Good morning. Welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Let me finish and conclude my point now.
Okay, just quickly. Yeah,
yeah, because I haven't taken that much. It was only the wind and the noise at the ground.
All right. Mm.
So my question is that it's good now to review the policies, the programming, and all those things that are not responding very well to the concern and the need of the people.
Yeah.
So the fact that, yes, there was the fact that there are elections, those are obvious. And we are saying that the need, you see, when there are elections, the people also bring a lot of their interest and concern.
Yeah.
Well, isn't it? So the 10% people are saying, I think it has been well explained, and I don't know where there's still confusion. That 10% in exploration, mining, and all these other things, for example, is because they ask a lot of billions and billions of dollars, isn't it?
Yeah.
So they might not have the billions of dollars to invest in exploration. In terms of loyalty and all other things, I think that one is clear. Because if you go in 10%, and if you, it's a risk, you know, again. And if you don't find oil, then in 25 billions should have been wasted. Who could then take that risk if you are, even if you are to negotiate, have the negotiation skills, some kind of, you know, strategies? How are you going to, just to lose that money? Just to lose that money without getting anything. And then the people will come now and say, ah, why did you invest in the venture? That is not viable.
How is that going to be different now when you are 51%?
If you are what?
If you are now the owner, you have ownership of 51%. So the exploration and all that, how would that be different now?
No, the difference is that if you invest 10%, and
No. I understand that. Previous, that's how. Now you're going to have a 51% ownership. You will be involved in the explorations.
Oh, wonderful. If you have a 50% ownership, excluding the loyalties and all these other things, people will be employed and all these other things. That means you might even come to somewhere 60, 70, somewhere there. People who are benefiting from that.
No, what I'm asking now, you spend, the one you are referring, spending about billions in exploration, millions of explorations. Now, you are now having 51%. So how are you going to go around that? Because you're going to spend now a lot of money also, isn't it?
No. You're not spending a lot of money.
Mm.
So if you spend a lot of money, then you are sure that you're going to find some benefit there. And then it's not a problem. But where you are not sure, this uncertainty that
you are exploring. I'm giving you that you are still exploring. You're not sure. When you're exploring, you're not sure.
No. Those who calculate the risk and all these other things, they know. They know that they know the certainty. They have not calculated the risk. They have done all those kind of things. So if they are putting in that 51%, that means they are sure of getting benefits from that thing. But if you are not sure, you might also put 10%, considering that there could be some risk involved, so that you don't just put all the money there. I'm talking about billion. You know how much the money that they put on me when they were exploring those things? It's billions and billions of dollars that they have mobilized in their own financial market. So, and that was the explanation. And if, for example, you are getting into the venture, maybe let's say partnership, and you are now putting maybe 70%, and the other one is putting 10%, if you don't get what you want, who is losing there?
Do you getting me, Uncle Buena? I think maybe you're not getting each other. So what I'm asking is this. You know, you see, the reason why foreign investors spend so much money in an exploration is because they own, they own now that project. They own that project. Maybe let's say, for example, 90%, and we only own 10. You know,
so it cannot be like that. It can never be like that. When the things come into operation, once the thing come into operation, you obviously get. You will get more. Like I say, in terms of employment, in terms of loyalty, taxes, and all these other things.
Yeah, no, those are requirements when it comes to the operations. We understand that. So, but what I'm asking you now is that now the government would like to have the owner, before even the exploration is done, for any new ventures, mining, we own that share, I mean that resources 50%, 51%, and that's where I was asking. Now, who will be doing the funding? Where would our share of 51% come from? It comes from the coffer of the government, isn't it?
Yes, that's good for you. Anybody can still get even the share that you are going to get also comes from your pocket as well.
So yeah, but that would also come from the exploration for the new ventures is also coming the coffer of the government, isn't it?
Yes, that's good enough.
So then what is the difference between how it was done previously, where we only have a 10%?
So it was done previously because people were considering those uncertainties, the risk. So maybe this time
But there could be also risk here. It's exploration.
They have calculated. That's why they are putting those...
Angobana, think.
What do you mean by think? I said they have already... So they didn't think about the risk.
Yeah. So that's the question that's the question we're asking.
That's what I'm saying. The reason why they are putting top amount is because they know that this is a viable and promotable venture. So they were not able to lose that amount of money. Because even when it's coming to operation, it will even be more 100% or 90% owned by the government.
Okay, so thank you very much. Maybe we need to call somebody again and come and say, okay, explain this 10%, explain this 50%.
No, we understand the 10%. I think you're not just getting what I'm asking.
No, we only understand 10% in the negative, but you are not putting it into the positive.
No, it has both. I'm actually, the way I'm asking you in a positive way, not in a negative way. So,
the positive is that once they put more money, they are aware and they have recognized the risk and the benefit. So the benefit here, it will be more because they are putting more money.
All right.
Good.
Thank you for coming through.
Welcome, sir.
All right. So, so now where do we go from here? Okay. Where do we go from here? So that's the question. So, I think the review of the mineral bill is undoubtedly the most critical next step. This is our chance as citizens to make our voice heard. So the idea of consultation, that's actually a very good thing. So when those consultations happen in the mining regions, let's not just send representatives, okay? So let's demand clarity, okay? Like what we're trying to do here. Let's demand clarity. We need detail on how this 51% ownership will be actually be funded. And this is what I'm asking. How are you going to fund this 51%? And how are you going to manage that 51%? So we need clear mechanism of how the benefits will flow down to the communities. And this is where the problem is. So we're talking about that's going to benefit us, but do we see that actually follow? How is that going to flow down to the communities? And this is what the president's saying. We are too few to be poor. We don't see that benefits actually flowing down to the communities. And we're not just jobs, but direct tangible investment in schools, in clinics, in local businesses, and in sustainable development, a sustainable development beyond the lifespan of the time of the mine. So and guys, this is not just about percentage point, you know, it's not just percentage point on the balance sheet. It is about the very future of our nation. It's about ensuring our mineral wealth become a true catalyst for a broader based prosperity. So that we reduce that inequalities and build a more resilient economy for generation to come. So what are your thoughts? So fellow Namibians, what are your thoughts? Do you believe this 51% push is the right move for our country? What question do you have for the government, for the mining companies, and for the Chamber of Mines? So do you have any questions? So our mining, our mineral wealth, it's immense. It's really, really immense. And the potential is undeniable. But potential means nothing unless it is unlocked in a way that truly serves the needs of all Namibians, not just a privileged few. So let's keep unpacking these vital issues together. So our telephone number, 08-0833-66-091. So do come through and have your say.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Yes, this is Eagle FM. Our time is about 37 minutes past the hour of 9. And if you're just joining us, Unpacking Now goes, Unpacking Now has got a new schedule, has got a new time. So we will be now starting from 8 and ending at 10 o'clock. So we will go up to 10 o'clock. And after that, there's a brand new show that's going to come up from 10 o'clock, moderated by Mr. Franz. Kwitha Mosha, that will be that we're coming at 10 o'clock. So just to let you know. And it's in Oshiwambo, so for Oshiwambo speaking people, so that's the new brand show that's coming up. Normally we have Mind the Gap there, but so that's a new program that comes up. So make sure that you tune in that new brand show by Franz there that's coming up there. So all right, and we're talking about the 51%, the government push, the policy that pushing for 51% share in mining. And we looked at the ins and outs. We look at how that's going to benefit us and how and what are the challenges, what are things that maybe what we need to pay attention to consider. What is your take? What is your reaction to that? You can come through anytime. Our telephone number 083-366-091. So let's look at also, this is actually something that, it's a story that is actually all over, in the papers. And it's about the hyphen hydrogen energy project. So the green hydrogen, the future and the game changer for Namibia. So when we talk about that's taunted us, the future and the game changer for Namibia. So the number thrown around are incredible. So we'll hear 108 billion for this ambitious project, with Namibian government holding a 24% stake. Okay. We're coming back to what we were talking about earlier on. We want 51%. Here we're having about 24% stake. Now, the government's 24% stake in hyphen hydrogen energy's 180 billion hydrogen project now has raised some concern over the financial risk. So there has been now raise some concern over financial risk, transparency, and also long-term economic impact. As I said, that is also the story is found in one of the daily newspaper. So now the vision of Namibia is really a grand vision. It's a huge vision. So we want to become a global leader in the new energy source, creating jobs, attracting investment and diversifying our economy beyond the traditional sector like mining. Now, the hyphen hydrogen energy is the company leading this charge. So, and they have recently awarded a huge construction contract for their green ammonia plant. Now, on paper, it all sounds, you know, good and well, fantastic, good, eh? A future forward move for developing nations. So now, here is where the questions start bubbling up. You know, now there are some questions start bubbling up. Our government has committed to a 24% stake in this venture. All right. So we are told we have already paid. So we already paid for these shares, and we have brought our shares to the table. All right. Now, so, and according to the project's official spokespeople, this investment is crucial so that if, let's say, if the project succeed, Namibia is not just watching, you know, from the sidelines while others, harvest the benefits. So we get a piece of the pie as well. So that's what the spokespeople, for the project are saying. So I want you to pause for a moment, okay? I want you to pause for a moment. When we hear we have already paid for our shares, a crucial question, you know, come to my mind, and perhaps to your mind as well. Where did that money, first of all, where did that money come from? So where did that money come from? Remember, we were told that, you know, government really doesn't, you know, use the taxpayers' money, you know. Was it from a hidden stash of cash somewhere? Or is it our money, taxpayers' money? That's already been, which has been already funneled into this significant upfront investment. Just think about it. So, and here's another immediate red flag, according to the story in the paper, in the papers. So concern have surfaced that this immense project, despite its advancement stages of planning and recent contract award, hasn't even completed its environmental and social impact assessment. It hasn't. So this is, and this is a fundamental step. This is a fundamental step for any major development, especially one of this scale. How can a project be so far along, you know, signing massive construction contracts, when the very studies meant to ensure it doesn't harm our environment or communities are still pending? It makes wonder. It makes you wonder. Eh? It makes you wonder if we are maybe putting the cart very much before the horse, you know, or the other way around. I don't know which one. So, and I said putting the cart before the horse, you know. So are we? This 180 a billion project. It's a billion project. To be one of the largest foreign direct investment Namibia has ever seen. It sounds great, and it sounds great. But the core of the concern revolves now around our government's 24% stake in the potential ripple effect on our already stressed financial finances. I mean, national finances. That's where the concerns are. So, remember, our country's current debt to GDP is sitting at around 64%. So that's already a higher number. Now, imagine if Hyphen or any part of this massive 180 billion financing were to stumble. This is where now the questioning coming in. if it were to stumble. So what if the loans secured for the project face repayment difficulties, for example? Some economic watchers, I call them watchers, you know, are deeply worried. They are deeply worried that even if the government claim, even if it's claimed not to be directly liable for hyphen loans, the sheer scale of the project could drag our nation into a deeper, you know, a deeper debt spiral. That's what they are worried about. These economic watchers, watchers, you know, those who watch, they are those, you know, the, what are they? The Nginomenmavali and the Kanjengos. The Kanjengos, you know? Those economic watchers. So what would that mean for you? What would that mean for me, you know? For everyday Namibian. So what it could mean that money that desperately needed for essential social services, like ensuring there is medicine, like nowadays the hospitals are going empty in terms of medicines, you know, maybe paying social grants on time, or creating much needed jobs for thousands and thousands of youth that are on the street, this fund would have to be redirected. So it have now to be redirected. Redirected to what? Now, you guess right. To service the rising debt. So we are already struggling with funding gap. Yeah? We're already struggling with that funding gap for our, you know, there's this upcoming Euro bond maturity in October. So we have already had that funding gap. So our borrowing need, especially domestically, are projected to hit a record higher this year or in the coming years. So our national purse, my friend, is already feeling the squeeze. It's bleeding. So, and that's where their concerns are. So now, the government stance, through its now green hydrogen program, is that they are shielded from liability for any future loans the investors might take. So they emphasize that our 24% share is paid for. So anything or anything else the project needs, the private investors are responsible for. So, but let's be realistic, huh? Let's be realistic, my friends. So if a project of this magnitude, with our government as a significant stakeholders, a project touted as a critical for our national future, if it were to hit a war, do we honestly believe here, do we honestly believe that there wouldn't be no fallout for Namibia? Do we? So there would definitely no fallout at all, no blow to our international reputation, no impact on investor confidence in our countries as a whole, no pressure. Even if not legally binding, so for the government to step in and try to salvage a failing national flagship project, so definitely it would. And it's not just about direct legal liability. It is about the broader economic and political consequences. Are we being too optimistic? Or perhaps even little naive, if you can say, about potential risk here? I'm just asking you to think. I'm just throwing questions there for you to think about. Now, so beyond these the financial numbers that we're hearing, there is another critical area where red flags are waving. And this is actually transparency and control. This is transparency and control. So we have now civil society, a civil society group, and even some of our own lawmakers have raised a serious concern about the lack of information being made public regarding this massive green hydrogen initiative. So, and according to the news stories, this project, we are told, has been streamrolled by the presidency. You know, streamrolled by the presidency. So think about that phrase, streamrolled. It suggests a process that bypassed proper scrutiny, you know, and that pushes through without adequate public or parliamentary oversight. So streamrolled. So there have been some report of official refusing to provide information, even to our elected representatives. Can you imagine that? Lawmakers trying to get answers to you, the public, about project that could define our nation's future for generations to come, effectively being told, hey, keep quiet. Shut up. Well, I'm exaggerating that, but this is not how it, you know, how an open democratic society should operate. So, especially when such significant national asset, that national asset actually, and a future liability are at stake. It's really at stake. So, now, and actually this brings us to the deeply uncomfortable but necessary discussion, the idea of, and this is what one of the economists has called a neocolonial dynamic. So the neocolonial dynamic. So this perspective questioned the very arrangement of our government, and this is something that I talked about earlier on. I don't know, with Mantume or earlier with James. So our government buying shares in project that aims to exploit our own natural resources. So now, for centuries, African nations have been resource rich. You know, we are rich resource. We have rich resource. I mean, we are rich in terms of resources, but economically struggling because the benefit flows outside. Benefit flows outwards. Okay, it doesn't come to us, and this is what we were discussing earlier. This economist ask, shouldn't be the other way around. Shouldn't be the other way around.
Igrafem, welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Oh, you guys, we don't know that we are going up to 10, man. Oh.
Yeah, no, we change. We're moving now from my unpacking, move from 10, from 8 o'clock to 10, to 10 o'clock. Now. Yeah.
Which is good. At least we have 2 hours to debate.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you know what? One thing, when I was talking about that FM, is that, when you are talking about that, you know, sometimes, we need to let these things light, because it was not our project. And I remember one thing that, you know, when they come to even this green hydrogen, everything just gets hidden. If you are talking about the green hydrogen, there will be a lot of support of a lot of job available, but you never know. You heard anything, even the advertisement or anything, come to job. Because remember one thing that for locals, remember one thing that in this green hydrogen is going to be need a lot of things, like starting from catering, you go to equipment, you talk about even the labor itself, labor force, you talk about, there are so many things involved, but at the end of the day, you don't get those details available. You go to the website, nothing. Yeah. You go to wherever, a person who's possible, it's not giving the information out.
Yeah. It has become a concern for even for the lawmakers. There are people who have been asking information which they haven't received. You know.
Why we carry on with it?
Mm.
Why should we invest in something which we don't understand, or there's no information available?
Yeah. So the major things here that we talk about is the environmental and the environment and assessment, that are not available.
That's
not made available, and these things. Sometimes when you and I said when we listen and when we read, so we should always start to think in terms of how to then start already operating without this assessment made.
Exactly, that is the main issue. Because why should we do that if they need to comply with environment impact? But it's not happening.
Yeah.
And now, how? Who will let it go to them to slide, to start over? To start it without environment certificate clearance.
And that happens with many, many, many projects. The other time we were talking about the one in Kavango Basins, they started actually doing that without giving a go ahead at all.
Eh? Now. And you know what they did? You know, to keep the people shut up. To shut the people's mouth.
Yeah.
They started distributing the water, the route will leave. And the people keep quiet. You see? For how long are we going to be like this as a country?
Yeah.
Because now, remember one thing, that's what I'm saying. Sometimes we jump in something which we don't know. And sometimes remember people who are pushing this thing to go ahead, they have interest. Because they know they are getting something. But the majority, all of us, and even people who are spearheading, sometimes they are bonfrauded, they cannot see anything. But the person who's spearheading it, he knows exactly what he wants to get it.
Yeah, and the potential is huge.
The potential is huge.
Even the benefit is huge for the country, for the possible benefits the country can get individually in terms of job and things like that. They're really huge, but you have to understand where we are. So first of all, we don't have the manpower that we can now say we will be able to employ expertise from Namibia. So as I said, the entry level kind of employment that people get. The hydrogen that we get, it's not meant for Namibia, it's meant for Europe.
Exactly, if it was our project, we supported already having vocation trading, training people when it comes to green hydrogen. But why is it not happening? And everybody's excited that, we are going to do it, but when you look at the crowd, there's nothing happening. Like we are doing something towards that green hydrogen project. But seriously speaking, my friend, when it comes to mine, I feel also that since we are also approaching the election for councillor, this can be one of the one of the campaign.
Yeah.
Because remember one thing, that there was a promise after the election of the president, she said it's going to increase the pension. What happened? She shifted to insisting free education.
Yeah.
And now when you are talking about free education, it's like there's nothing happening now. Even there's a concert going on. You see now.
So it's all good and well. You understand? It's all good and well. Even a free education is all good and well, and we can celebrate that, and there's good thing. But if it's not sustainable, at one point we decide again, no, we cannot afford this because of this and this.
It's a campaign.
And that's why
we are falling on this thing as an Namibian people.
Yeah. No, it's about 10 already, Nem. So,
and we have let us make it. I want you to listen to the
tune in. It's a new show that's coming up. So definitely it will be very interesting by Franz. You know how he does his things. So definitely it's a very interesting show that's coming up after this one.
All right, my brother.
So great, ne?
Sure.
Yeah.
All right. And my dear people, that brings us to the end of Unpacking the Day. And coming up, it's actually France bringing you. Let's get this one quickly.
Yes. Good morning.
You say it starts what time again?
The new program is just starting now. It's going to be starting now. Now, Unpacking the Day start at so, 8 yes, to 10.
We did not examine the governor's things. I will add it tomorrow.
All right. Great. Yeah.
All right. So let me end up here and hand over the driving seat to Mr. Franz coming up with a new brand new show which is Kuthamosha, if I got it right. I think it's Kuthamosha. That's the name of the show. So yeah, from me, Mike. Until tomorrow, it's a goodbye for now, and enjoy the rest of the day.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye. Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal. Fraud.
I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
This is a paid advert.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye. The eye.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram.